Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast about dive bars. I'm your host, Christina Lundin. Join me each week for a candid conversation with the owner, manager, bartender, and regulars at Chicago's most iconic pubs and taverns. So belly up to the bar, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Hey everyone, it's episode 4. I'm glad you're here. Episode 4 features Skylark in Pilsen. The first 3 episodes were kind of nearby where I live, so this is the farthest one to date. But I actually found out about Skylark on Reddit. Reddit is my new favorite website. I don't know what took me so long to get into Reddit, but I use it for everything, and there are dozens of threads about Chicago bars, just people wondering where they should go if they're visiting or wondering what the top dive bars are. A lot of knowledge to find there, but Skylark was mentioned on almost every one, so I felt like a dingus for not knowing about it until now. I also found out that Skylark's sister bar is Rainbow Club in Wicker Park, and I love Rainbow Club, so I had a feeling I would love Skylark too. And I contacted them on Instagram, and they were super friendly, and were basically like, yeah, come on down, we'd love to do your podcast. So that was really cool of them. Dan and I went there on a bitter cold Wednesday in November. We had just hosted a rousing night of bingo for residents at a high rise about 2 miles up the road. So we jetted down Halstead and made our way there. Walking in there, I was so hungry, so I was really excited to try some of the food, and I was really impressed. We got pierogies, and I had one of the specials. Ambria had recommended it to me. I think it was like a beef bacon bean stew. It was really delicious. Dan got the burger, of course, and we had to try the tots. They're known for these tots, and I gotta say, they lived up to the hype. We've got retro decor here. It feels like, you know, time stands still there, to take the words from Sam, one of the co-owners. They have a good beer list, some solid NA options, friendly, kind staff, not to mention the oldest urinals in the city. Not sure how old, but let's just say those urinals have been through a lot. Skylark over-delivers on character and quality, and they're just not trying to be anything else but Skylark. You could just ask one of the hundreds of happy customers throughout the years. So, as you know, I love to look at Google reviews. There are some really good ones, so I picked out a few on Skylark's Google review page. Here we go. Best dive bar in Chicago. Love the staff, the regulars, the tots, and the prices. Nothing fancy, just great vibes all around. Had a great time here with my friend Sam before seeing Alpha Consumer at Thalia Hall. Is it Talia or Thalia? You guys can let me know. That wasn't part of his review. And then he goes, I got food and a beer for $12, and they played Hank Williams and Roger Miller. Skylark is a great place to drink Malort after a big meal in Chinatown. The bartenders are top-notch and as friendly as can be. Absolutely great dive bar, good memories, easy crowd, great drinks, friendly bartenders, and just an overall feeling of welcome. You'll be hard-pressed to find a more easygoing bar in this area. And here's, oh, that was the last one I wanted to read. So I had a wonderful time talking with Ambria, Max, Sam, and Sherry, 4 of the 6 owners there. Skylark is actually staff-owned and operated as of last January 2024. So it'll be 1 year this January since they purchased the bar, which is pretty cool. So please enjoy the interview. All right, we are live at Skylark in Pilsen. We're on Halstead Street, and I am here with some of the owners here, co-owners. We've got Ambria.
Hi. 6 co-owners.
One of six. Next to Ambria, my friend Max is here.
Hi, I'm Max.
And then next to Max, we got Sam.
Sam.
And finally, Sherry holding it down.
Sherry.
And Sherry's here. Everyone, thank you for letting me come by your bar and bring this awful machine here, which shouldn't be allowed here. Like, I feel like I'm in maybe like the 80s.
Time stands still.
Yeah.
This building.
It's like purgatory, or it's like in The Shining. It's like you've been here forever.
And that's what I've heard is the best part.
It's a comfortable time.
Right.
It's the time you're comfortable at.
I feel very warm and fuzzy vibes in here. So I want to learn a little bit about you all. How long have you been working at Skylark? Can you tell me a little bit of a history lesson on Skylark?
All right, I work here since the day it opened. Since the day it opened, Bob McHale, a bar with Bluebird, and before that he worked at the Wrigleyville Tap.
Okay.
And he knew my husband, and he really wanted my husband to work.
And you don't want your husband.
That's good. I'm like,
I'm saying he wanted my husband. Yeah. But anyway, when the Skylark opened, Tom Faulkner is a very good bar manager, but I said, if you get him, you get me. And I turned out to be a way better bartender than my
love husband. It. Let's talk about the recent purchase of Skylark. So, can you tell me how that came about?
That's a big pain in the arse, but at least we made it.
There are two people.
Cheers to them.
Yeah.
Well, we heard through the grapevine that they were selling, and because we all work here, we heard like a little bit before it went to
me. Cambria.
Yeah.
I didn't work here at the time, but my partner Max.
She slacks off at, CPS the whole time. You know,
oh, I see.
You know, just like, barely puts in any effort working 60 hours a week with kids.
Right, yeah, it's so easy.
So a bunch of us who work here had heard that it was going to be put on the market and the owners were looking to sell. And instead of, waiting to see this place get torn down and be replaced by some, big high-rise condos or a bank or something, we decided to try to pull the money together and do what we could to make the down payment happen and find a loan, and we pulled it off.
That's amazing.
It was not easy, though. Yeah. We got turned down by six different lenders before we got someone to say yes, and it was still like a very tenuous while we were in that process with the lending firm that finally said yes. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, we thought like because we had gotten together enough money for a down payment, because it was a successful business, thought that would be enough. But it turns out it isn't. One of the lenders that turned us down when we were like, what would it take for you to say yes? And they said someone with $6 million of loan.
Yeah.
$6 million net worth.
Right.
Which was pretty eye-opening. Like, we really kind of naively thought, like, oh, we're going to show that this business that the lender's investing in has been successful, and all the people who, so many of the people who made it what it was are going to be the co-owners now, so it'll be a turnkey sale, and we have the money it takes for the down payment, and then, so many of them would spin around and be like, okay, great, which one of you is a millionaire to co-sign?
Right.
It was like,
it's too risky. Oh, it's good people who want to continue running a business.
Even the lender that said yes looked at Max's income returns and said, how do you live?
I don't think that's within...
I thought I was doing okay.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we were looking at my school loans, and she was like, why does she have school loans? Why did she take out loans?
Oh, maybe she needed to go to school to get her CPS job. Well, it was a long road to get here, but as you sit here now, was it all worth it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Happy too.
Yeah, no, every day somebody in here tells me how thankful and happy they are that we stayed open. I mean, we've been a community hub for, ever since we've been open.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the place place has been a pub since 1910. There's always been a bar on this corner.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that it's really nice to be able to maintain and have continuity on things.
Yeah.
And if we had to manage it, and if the bosses hadn't been such good, decent people.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted us to. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wolves were circling, and there were folks trying to backdoor get them to break the deal with us or to tank the deal with us, and they did not, because they actually give a shit about community and gave a shit about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really cared about giving us time to find financing, which we were just telling you was really hard. And also, it's like they want to keep this place the way it is, but it's also a part of keeping the neighborhood affordable. A place for people to drink.
To all of us, they want to keep it going, and all of us want to keep it going.
But no, I figure, going for landmark status, I think we have a good argument for it. And then also potentially setting up a charter or something like that, so the place would operate in perpetuity. I like the idea of it being 500-story buildings all around us, and we might only get sunlight for about 10 minutes a day when the sun gets right overhead.
Uh-huh.
But
let's go even farther. How about when climate change really devours this city, and every whole city is underwater, you can still swim through that door.
You could still get a pierogi here. Yeah.
We'll all still be here.
We'll still be here.
This seems like a place where I would want to hide out for a while, for sure.
Super rare.
I don't know, places like this. And it's interesting to talk about the classification of it. Because a lot of people say it's not a dive bar. In part because it's a restaurant, right? And restaurants like this don't really exist anymore. It's no frills, but the food is really good. And there's a bar over there. And it's so lovely, but so casual. And I just feel like it's something you don't see a lot more. This building was built in the late 1800s, and not a lot has changed. Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, I'm wondering what's changed, if anything. What have you...
What's changed since we took over, or what's changed since we've been here?
Since you've been here.
I remember we got the second cooler.
Hell yeah.
Bob was super excited about that.
Uh-huh.
That was about 10 or 12 years ago.
Wow.
Honestly, I don't think we've changed anything too much. Obviously, there's been a little bit of mingling on menuage and things like that. We have an Instagram, finally.
That's how I reached you guys, and I gotta say, the response was so quick. You guys are on top of your shit.
Yeah, Andrea is very good at
that. And a really good Instagram presence too, which is important now if you want to, reach people and let people know what's going on.
It still throws me off when I actually get contacted by the Skylark Instagram, though.
Yeah, sometimes I forget.
Besides the non-alcohol stuff.
No, yeah.
Which people
are going to say. Yeah. It is kind of, especially a lot of our folks that have been coming here for a long time super appreciate having more non-alcoholic options. And, some of us just don't have the time to actually get properly drunk anymore. And so...
You got
to
drive yourself home. And they taste so good, too. Max, you're drinking one, right?
Yeah, I'm having the Athletic Golden. That's good.
Oh, that's a good one. And you have an NA Stout, too, I think.
Yeah, the big, the Galactic.
The Galactic
Big Drop, yeah.
I love just, looking at the walls and looking around. What's your favorite thing in the bar?
Oh, the Bantams. Hands down. The
Oddfellows
Bantams.
Oh, those.
It's one of those things. I mean, we don't have TVs very intentionally, and that means folks either have to stare at their phone, which people have better on.
No one's really looking at their phone.
Rarely.
Yeah.
How rarely in this bar? We don't have TVs, but how rarely do you see people looking at their phones?
I mean,
it's wonderful.
It's rare. It starts to be
That is, put that on a plaque outside the bar. Yeah. Do you guys ever use the photo booth?
The woman who owns the photo booth, she bought it from folks who had it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super cool. She makes it a point to maintain old technology. I mean, because it's an actual photo paper emulsion, yeah. Proper photo booth. It's not digital. It's actual real photos. And so, I mean, but it's an excellent one to order.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, I've seen it getting maintenance. And also, the person that owns it is really into hiring women to maintain it and training women to maintain it. And so when I've seen someone come in to maintain it, she like opens it up. And there's literally like a giant vat full of all the processing chemicals. And like there's like a machine that like dips the photos.
Oh, wow. It is really to see.
What's super funny though is old school as the tech is, that she has a camera inside the workings of it,
mm-hmm.
on the inside of the machinery, so she can maintenance stuff.
She can fix it?
From wherever she's at in the country.
Wow.
From, you know, like over the phone with somebody.
Okay, I love that.
Which is pretty funny.
That is pretty cool.
She also does the photo booth at Rainbow, which is our sister bar.
Ooh, it is. Yeah. I love Rainbow Club. Yeah.
Yeah, Rainbow.
I can kind of see that. I love their photo booth too. And I love their decor as well.
Yeah. A lot of what you see on the walls, like, was part of the sale.
Okay.
They left a lot behind. So a lot of that's the same. The walls, actually, it's funny, like, green is our signature now. And I love these green walls. But they actually did used to be, like, a dark red color.
I think it fits.
There are still a few spots around here that they just didn't paint.
Oh, yeah, like
we're not filming that.
Or behind pictures, things, you know, stuff like that.
There's a little bit of a reminder of what it used to be.
Because every bar in the city of Chicago is a Southside Irish pub.
That's so true.
Run by the mob.
Yeah. That's so
apparently.
True.
So, for everything that they film in the city.
This is a great, I've heard there have been a couple movies, maybe scenes filmed here.
Yeah, I
saw The Breakup. The critically acclaimed.
The Breakup was filmed
the
here.
Breakup.
Chicago Fire
the
just breakup, filmed here last
the Chicago
year.
Fire.
That's for the day of see, but the, it's Fargo.
Fargo? You're kidding.
Fargo,
the shoot.
The show?
Yes. Yeah.
That
Fargo,
show
that
is really
is
good.
That really.
Oh, yeah, they turn
they
the stuff. They changed the side door to being the front. They made it Christmas in Kansas City in the 50s
down
here. When they did Fargo, that was like...
I was a little grumpy on that one because they bought us out.
I'm always grumpy.
Well, I'm usually grumpy.
Oh, man.
I'm walking out.
He doesn't mean it that negatively.
Well, it was like Chris Rock's in my hallway upstairs.
Yeah.
The front apartment they rented it. They let them use it as a green room.
Oh.
I told them I don't want you folks in my house because
like
we're gonna come in and ruin the house and whatnot.
Yeah.
But like,
pretty.
And everybody's in period dress, dancing and doing the whole thing.
Wow.
Normally I would have to like babysit for stuff like that. And yeah, which is kind of funny to be on set for. But I had to go up north on St. Patrick's Day to work at Liars Club. Instead on Friday night, instead of getting to stand here. And, It would have been nice
Fargo.
Not to have, but yeah, that was a Fargo.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's a wonderful representation.
I'm curious, what are some traditions you guys have at Skylark? Maybe some weekly events you guys are doing? Do you ever have live music?
Well, we have live music on Sunday nights. We started doing brunch on Sundays as well, so we've invited pop-ups to come and use our kitchen and serve food, and that's been really fun to offer like a rotating series of like wildly different kinds of food.
Cool.
We've had
secret burger when they came in.
I've heard of that. How do you find these pop-ups?
A good number of folks have just been folks you know from the neighborhood. Secret burger, it was, you know, a couple of guys that I was just mentioning, like, oh, yeah, we had brunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Or earlier today. It's strange, you know. Like, it's good, but, like, normally I would open up on a Sunday, but I'm the second bartender on Sundays now because of this. And so I'm talking about it, and they just come from work in a pop-up. And they're like, you know that's what we do, right? And I'm like, no, I know you guys work, but, you know, as guys I've known for years. And they're like, well, maybe, yeah, let's do it.
You talk about, like, big moments. Have there been any memorable celebrated besides,
after COVID, when we first opened, the day when we were open at COVID, I came in and the bar stand up and clap when I came in.
Oh, wow.
The bar,
now you expect it every
time. Yeah, you remember the bar when I came in, we called it, the first time we opened, I came in from my shift and the bar stood up and clapped.
I
cry right now. Remembering that.
The party we had when we shipped over was actually January 21st, so we're coming up on a year.
Yeah.
And it was called the Grand Staying the Same Party.
February 2nd.
And it's similar. Yeah. And it's like, oh, what'd you do that for that event? It's like, we opened. But it was packed.
It was also Groundhog's Day, if I recall.
Standing room only, but
that's
barely.
Right.
Yeah, it was Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. So
and it was staying the same forever.
Oh, that's kind of perfect. Yeah.
Reliving the same night over and over.
Right.
Coming full circle from the beginning.
And the best thing is, like, Max and Andrea. These are people, Max and Andrea and Sam have put more into this than I could have, being an employee here for a long time. So I'm very lucky to be part of it.
It really goes both ways. You, Tom, and Brian helping out on, like, I mean, you know, like, also, yeah.
Okay, we're doing a little lightning round, all right? Okay, first question, pinball or photo booth?
Photo booth. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
A lot more fun in a photo booth.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, we found some photos the next day.
Okay. Lots of kissing.
Some nudity.
Yeah. Well, it is.
And we're like, when were they doing
that? How do you get nudity as a pinball machine?
I mean, you know.
You can get creative, I guess.
That's why we gotta break down the glass.
Okay, well, then, okay.
Whiskey or Malort?
Whiskey!
Okay, we're split here.
Malort's worse, but it's more interesting.
I think so, too. It's kind of a rite of passage.
It's the worst, and that's why I think it's
a
I feel that way, too. I want to know your favorite day to work at the bar.
Fridays.
TGIF. Yep.
Friday's great. Friday's always a big crowd, which is fun.
Yeah.
Saturday sucks, Shannon. My husband.
Saturday sucks.
I always really enjoy Thanksgiving and New Year's, Christmas are always nice. Well, it's one of those things because it's all folks that you know, and it's, you know, folks get done. Like, I mean, I grew up in, we used to always do Christmas whiskey back home, which would be the big party on Christmas because you couldn't buy alcohol on Christmas Day, so everybody had to buy a bottle the day before.
Right.
And then you show up for Christmas whiskey and everybody gets proper drunk.
Sure.
Like, one of the few days a year you properly drink. And also be a bunch of folks you haven't seen for a year. Anyway, so it's very reminiscent of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a short story. But that it's reminiscent of that out here because it's like, it's people that you're seeing after they're done with their family events. Everybody needs a drink.
Yeah.
It's
decompress.
That or their family's all dead. And you're
they need someone to
drink.
Somewhere to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how about most popular menu item?
People love the
PBR.
The Tots PBR. How about most popular drink?
Probably PBR. We have $3 PBR draft.
$3 is a pretty good deal.
For 16 ounces?
Yeah.
Or zombie. If we
Three Floyds,
We've always had a good relationship with Three Floyds.
It's a good beer,
No, it's just, it was on a draft, it's just the Skylark.
Yeah.
It's not really, it's just that we're here.
Bob always had a good relationship with the Floyd brothers. They always made sure that we had Three Floyds, period.
Favorite Chicago restaurant, if you have one, or like it could be a diner or...
I don't know. I think it depends on what you're looking for
type stuff. Yeah, you guys probably know the best of the best. How about a recent great dining experience you guys had?
I do enjoy getting over to Nine Bar in Chinatown. They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They do cool food.
Duckin, I love swinging in for their industry night.
Love Duckin. That's Bridgeport. Really? Okay.
Depending on what part of the north side you're at, Best Intentions.
Those folks are great.
Place is always bloody well packed, but the food is excellent and staff's great.
Okay. Great. Those are great recommendations.
Hamel Bar is always a go-to, too.
Also a good one. Hey, come out to Skylark. Yeah. What's the address here?
2149 South Halsted Street.
2149 South Halsted.
Halsted and Sermon.
Halsted and Sermon.
We're a bar under the highway, as we
get
say.
Your ass to the bar under the highway.
If you don't like the margarita you order, it's just a bar under the highway.
Don't
ask Sherry for margaritas.
Ask for Sherry's margarita when you get here. No. And don't forget to clap for Sherry when you see her. All right. Thanks, guys.
Euler's Corner.
All right, new episode of Euler's Corner today. A very Chicago episode of Euler's Corner. We're talking Malort. M-A-L-O-R-T. They got a little umlaut above the O. Now, what is Malort? I got no clue. I love drinking it. Every time I go out drinking, every time I get a Labatt's Blue or a Miller Lite, I get a shot of Malort with it. What's in it? I don't know. What kind of alcohol it is? I don't know. It's an aperitif. I don't know what aperitif really means. It settles the stomach. What's it made out of? I don't know. Wormwood, something, hints of grapefruit. Just drink it. It's great. I love it. People judge me for drinking it too. And it's like, listen, all alcohol you shoot, all well alcohol is disgusting, okay? You're shooting Gorgon's vodka and you're judging me for shooting Malort. Just don't, all right? All alcohol tastes disgusting. Malort just lingers a little more, all right? I love Malort. I love it. I do. I think it's great. I think every bar should have it in Chicago. I went to one bar in Chicago that did not have it once. And they were like, we don't, we're a little different. We don't do Malort here. It's like, all right, well, you're missing out on a lot of profit. Because it can be a gimmick shot. Because it's so bad. You got to try it. You got to trick your friends into doing it. Yeah, turn it into a gimmick shot. Sure. Charge $9 per shot. The thing costs like $20 a bottle. So all you need is three morons to pay $9 and boom, that's profit. All right, Duke of Perth, get Malort next time. All right, but as much as I love Malort, I don't make it my personality. All right, you get some of these people, they go to a bar a couple of times, they get a shot of Malort, and they get a sticker that says, I'm Malorted. It's like the I voted thing. Don't wear that. Just treat it like any other alcohol. You're making alcohol your personality. Take 12 steps out the door, all right? Just be cool about it. It's great, though. I do love it. It settles the stomach. Let's say you have a big old meal, You're like, oh, I don't know if I can go out anymore. I gotta sit down for the rest of the night. Nah, take a shot of Malort. It's an aperitif, so it settles the stomach, all right? Also, Malort, not as high as alcohol as the other shots. So you can impress people. You can do like 8 shots of Malort in a night. It's like, oh my God, how are you still standing? Because it's only like 45 proof or whatever, you know? It's only like 80% alcohol. I don't know any of those numbers, but it doesn't get you drunk as the other shots, all right? And also, this more so goes to the bartenders, not in Chicago. If a customer orders Malort, especially if it's consistently, if they go to your bar on a weekly basis, maybe don't judge them for getting Malort, okay? When I lived in Austin, Texas, don't get me started on that. There's going to be a whole episode about the bars and that fucking shithole. Not terrible, but, you know, terrible to live in. I would go there, and every time I would get a shot of Malort, I would always get a PBR shot of Malort. They're like, oh, you actually drink this stuff? Yeah. I drank it last week, and the week before, and the month before. So maybe stop judging me. You're a bartender. You're serving up people shots of, you know, Evan Williams. You don't judge people for drinking Evan Williams. That's disgusting. All right? That's actually disgusting. That's actually bad for you. Malort is an aperitif. It's a medicine. It has medical value. All right? So if you're a bartender, don't judge people on drinking Malort. Also, it's not a deep-rooted Chicago thing. It has some roots to Chicago, but nobody was made a stink about Malort. Nobody made a big deal about Malort until 2013. A Joe Schwamberg movie came out, and it featured Malort, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is such a unique thing. It's a Chicago. No, there's way more Chicago things than Malort. Malort's just new and popular. I mean, it's not new, but its popularity is new. So just take your shot, enjoy your night, don't get too drunk, and don't make it your personality. And don't judge people for what they drink, all right? Thank you. This has been Euler's Corner episode. I forgot.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. Special thanks to Dan Muller for the music. Follow us on Instagram at Deep Dive Shy for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Thanks for listening to Deep Dive, where it's always a good pour, tall, short, and even Malort.